Here, it's about issues, not politics. Treat her like a lady, she's giving to you. Here's your host, Kathleen Wynn.
Welcome to Wynn Tucson on this Tuesday. We've got some gremlins in our board, so it's all good. And we have a very busy and full show today. I just want to acknowledge that today is U.S. Constitution Day, and we celebrate the U.S. Constitution, which was a four-page document signed on September 17th, 1787, which established the government of the United States of America. And a signer of the Constitution, James McHenry, noted in his diary that after Ben Franklin, you've heard this, left the Constitutional Convention, he was asked by Mrs. Elizabeth Powell of Philadelphia, "Well, doctor, what have we got, a republic or a monarchy?" And Franklin famously replied, "Republic, if you can keep it." And since we are only 2 years away from our 250th anniversary, if you can keep it has more meaning now than not that it did then, but we certainly have, we are in precarious times. So I am happy to say that our first guest today is Chad Heinrich with NFIB, the National Federation of Independent Businesses. And Chad, welcome back to Wynn Tucson. I am so glad that you could join us today.
Well, I'm happy to be here, and thanks for inviting me and having me on your show, Kathleen.
So a lot has happened to business in the last 4 years, and why is it so important that people have an ally like you? If I'm a small independent business owner, why is it important that I know about your organization, and what can you do for me?
Sure. So the NFIB is the National Federation of Independent Business. And so what that means is we are the voice of Arizona's small businesses, both at the state capitol and in Washington, D.C. So our name really tells it all, where we are representing independent businesses. So that means all of our members are privately owned businesses, not publicly traded businesses. Now, it doesn't matter what size your business is to be a member of NFIB. You could be a solo business owner like myself, or you can have 100, 200, 300 employees. But the core mission is to represent independent businesses. And I would say for the most part, and on average, our business owners have maybe a handful of employees. So, you know, 5 to 10 employees, that's generally the average size of our business. And so we represent the interests of all small businesses, not one particular industry.
And you are the state director for NFIB, correct?
Yes, I'm the Arizona state director for NFIB.
And, you know, currently, has this been, I'm looking at the economy, I'm looking at the cost that it takes to have a business. Is this a difficult time to be a small business owner in the United States of America right now?
Well, I would say in many cases, the answer is yes. We survey our members every month, and we put together what we call a small business optimism index based on really a standard set of questions that we've asked for decades every month. So we have a 50-year history with this survey. And what we hear from our members is that, you know, right now they are really in a trepidatious type of a feeling, right? We have a lot of uncertainty. Of course, it's an election year, so there's going to be some uncertainty in that regard. But there's a lot of uncertainty that within the small business owners in thinking, okay, what is the tax situation going to look like in the future? You know, what are the costs of my business going to look like? Because like everybody, small businesses have been absorbing the highest inflation rates that we've seen in recent memory. And that puts them in a very difficult position, because when costs go up for, you know, the goods that they need to run their business, or if they're reselling items, then that puts pressure on their pricing and impacts how they can sell to their customers, and all of these issues really build the wall of worry for small businesses. Not even to mention the fact that they cannot and have not been able to find enough qualified workers for years. That has been one of their top concerns every month when we ask them.
And it is historic inflation, right? The last 4 years, small business owners have struggled with that. And as you have taxed, depending on where your business is, where you live or where you're conducting your business, you have different tax pressures based on, you know, city tax, county, whatever that is. And I think that are your members going to vote? I mean, do they believe that could have an impact on their business?
Well, yes, I'm glad to say and proud to say that small business owners are, you know, one of the really most efficacious voting blocks in America. Small business owners vote. They talk to their colleagues and friends and family members about voting, and they're very engaged in the election process. So for that, I'm very thankful. You know, one of the issues that is most concerning for small businesses going into 2025 and why our federal elections are very important to small business is something called the expiration of the small business deduction on our income taxes. And so that is one of those unknowns that small businesses have on their wall of worry right now is, will the small business deduction be made permanent in law? And so that's something we're advocating for in Washington, D.C., and we'll look forward, of course, to working with the next administration and Congress on getting renewed.
And what does that, if I'm a small business, I guess it would matter on the size of the business, correct, as to what that deduction is in terms of a financial number or a percentage?
The small business deduction applies to all businesses, no matter what their size. And it's for what we call pass-through businesses. So I mentioned, you know, NFIB represents businesses that are not publicly traded. And so that means that we are sole proprietorships. Our members are sole proprietorships. They're also limited liability companies, maybe partnerships, really any of those business types that when they report their business income, they're reporting it on a personal return. And so what Congress did in 2017, when they passed the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, which is also referred to as the Trump Tax Cuts, is they made a permanent change to the corporate tax rate and lowered that. But they also enacted this small business deduction. And what that is it just means that on your qualified business income, before you start calculating the amount that you're taxed on, you take off 20%. And so that's a significant reduction for small businesses. And the reason they did that was they were lowering the rate for the big companies, the big corporations, but they wanted to also build in something similar as a reduction for small businesses. And so the problem is that deduction with all of the others that are associated with personal income taxes, those all expire at the end of 2025.
Yeah, and you can never start planning for that too soon. Chad, we have to take a short break, but when we come back, I don't think people realize how many people, it says small business, but it's almost half of the workforce. I want to talk about that, the implications of that, and how important it is that we pay attention to Main Street. And we'll discuss further the impacts of what's happening and how important it is that we support our small business. I'm talking to Chad Heinrich, State Director for NFIB here in Arizona. You're listening to The Voice, 10:30 a.m., your trusted local news and talk. And I'm Kathleen Wynn, and this is Wynn Tucson. Stay with us. We've got more great information for you on the other side of this break.
And national politics, the issues that matter to you. 10:30 The Voice, Tucson's trusted local news and talk.
Essential pest control leaves bugs belly up. the science.
You mean you don't use a shoe?
No, we use the latest in technology and innovation to eliminate termites, bugs, weeds, especially now during termite season.
No spray cans and lighters?
Nope, only termite solutions that target insect biology, using chemistry to help protect the environment, people, and their pets.
Huh, Essential Pest Control leaves bugs belly up. Call 886-3029 or visit EssentialPest.com.
4 years. That's how long it took Democrats to ruin our economy and plunge our southern border into anarchy. Who helped them hurt us? Ruben Gallego. Washington could have cut taxes for Arizona families, but Ruben blocked the bill. And his fellow Democrats gave a bigger break to the millionaire class in California and New York. They played favorites and cost us billions. And Ruben wasn't done yet. Democrats could have secured the border. Instead, they invited an invasion and used our tax dollars to pay for it. Ruben Gallego even backed a law to let them vote in our elections. Don't give Gallego and the Democrats another 4 years to hurt us. Give your support to a real Arizona leader, Carrie Lake. Carrie and the Republicans will secure the border, support our families, and never turn their backs on us. Carrie Lake for Senate.
I'm Carrie Lake, candidate for U.S. Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Carrie Lake for Senate and the NRSC.
Hey, Tucson, it's Joe Pags. Catch me weeknights 7 to 10 on KVOI. We're rapidly closing in on November 5th, and every night we're talking about the most important election of our lifetimes. You know as well as I do, it's a choice between a dangerous socialist leftist agenda and a candidate that cares about the future of our nation and our standing in the world. We'll also keep you updated on all the big news of the day and give you a healthy dose of humor, too, and great guests you need to hear from. Join me, Joe Pags, Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 p.m. on 1030 The Voice.
Welcome back to Win Tucson on this Tuesday, September 17th. Happy Constitution Day. And how perfect that we have small business represented today. I'm speaking with Chad Heinrich, who is the Arizona State Director. And Chad, right before we went away to the break, I was reading, and I was kind of surprised by this, but small businesses employ nearly half of the private sector workforce. I think that should get lawmakers' attention. I realize you're not one big business, but who you represent is almost half of the workforce, correct?
Yes, that's correct. And Arizona, as you know, Kathleen, I always say Arizona is really a small business state. We all know that we have some large companies in the state, but we don't have a lot of headquarters for large companies. And so, like you mentioned, a solid half of our workforce in Arizona is employed at a small business.
And where I live here in Tucson, I think that we have, I don't know what the percentage is, but I would guess it's at least 50%, maybe even a little bit more, because we do seem to have a lot of small business. Obviously, we have the military, but that's in its own category, right? And the U of A. I think that what people don't understand is that when the economy or there's inflation or the cost of goods goes up, as you said, those all affect how you run your business. And so what does NFIB do for their members? What do they do to help? You're advocating, you talked about some of these tax benefits that are expiring. So if I'm a member, what are you doing on my behalf?
Well, specifically in that regard, we are advocating in Washington, D.C. on legislation that would make that small business deduction permanent. So that's the top priority at the federal level in Congress for NFIB. And just to give that a little bit of shape for folks and for your listeners, you may remember a couple election cycles ago, there was a proposal for an income tax increase in Arizona. It ultimately did not make the ballot. But as part of that process, a fiscal note was pegged on that particular ballot measure. It was called Prop 208. And the budget folks at the legislature said that that would raise income taxes by about $800,000 per $800 million per year. I have to move my decimal points over a few times. and honestly, the small business community was reeling because that, we felt, was a significant tax increase, $800 billion tax increase. Well, folks that have studied the small business deduction and its impact on Arizona have pegged the fiscal impact of that expiring as a $3.2 billion tax increase in Arizona alone. And so four times the size of the of what would have been a tax increase from Prop 208 would be the expected tax increase on Arizona small businesses if this is not extended and made permanent. So it's a big deal for every size business, as you can imagine.
Well, and my concern was if it is allowed to expire and that does happen, I would think you would see businesses going out of business. They wouldn't be able to take that on. And that's not the ultimate goal. I don't think Congress wants to put small business out of business, and let's hope not, in this country.
No, but in understanding the way small businesses work, they have a very limited set of choices when costs go up, and one of those costs is taxes. So when the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act was passed, we asked our members, well, what did you do with the tax savings? And they told us they expanded their business. They bought equipment. Maybe they purchased a building. Maybe they hired employees or gave employees raises. All of those things that they did to expand their business would now be choices that they'd have to make in reductions. So they may have to cut jobs or cut the hours of their staff, or they may have to forego expanding their business any further. So these are all risks to the Arizona economy that could happen if Congress doesn't act to make the small business deduction permanent.
And one of the things I read also in this report that was provided was that the cost of health insurance still remains the number one chronic issue for small business owners. Can you impact that? Can you help your members? Is that another thing that you could lobby for? Or is healthcare in its own lane, and it's kind of just a problem that we're going to have to keep dealing with?
The cost of healthcare is a top concern for small businesses. And in the survey that you read, that is a comprehensive survey NFIB conducts every 4 years. And it has been the top concern for several years.
Yes.
And it is something that we work on at the state legislature. So the area that the state legislature impacts for health care costs and insurance is actually the ones that the plans that small businesses have access to offer to their employees. Large companies, the publicly traded companies, most of those are covered under a federal law that preempts the state. Mm. But the small businesses are subject to regulation on health insurance, and they do have so state lawmakers can make an impact in that regard. So what we do is we will typically look for mandates. A lot of times somebody has a good idea to mandate certain things through the state legislature, and those mandates may impact the cost of health coverage. And so NFIB is on the front line at the state legislature really reviewing those and working to defeat efforts that would increase the cost of health care coverage.
So what you're telling me is when you say good idea, you had that in air quotes, right? It wasn't necessary.
Absolutely. I hope your listeners could catch my sarcasm there. But,
I just wanted to underline it just in case they did not, because this is kind of serious. But we need to point out that when sometimes someone in the legislature has a good idea, it doesn't always play out that way. Energy independence.
Well, and you have to
go ahead.
Yes, you have to. You have to have some understanding there, because these lawmakers are approached by special interests
all the time
that are focused on one particular ailment or one particular chronic disease. And, you know, those are all sympathetic causes. But if we put together a mandate to cover one particular thing, then it's going to increase the cost for everybody for everything else. And so that's something we have on a perennial basis.
It's always the unintended consequences when we're fixing X, but we forget about Y and Z. And so what is the overall impact of that? And sometimes, unfortunately, we have to suffer a little bit before we get it fixed. One of the things I was about to ask was about energy, the cost of energy, the cost of gasoline. So if there is an administration change and the cost of energy comes down, hopefully then the cost of goods would come down, and that would be a positive impact for small business, I would think.
Oh, absolutely. I would completely agree with that. As everybody has grown to understand, when we've seen the energy cost increases, those costs of energy impact all other goods and services. Because if you received it, it came to you eventually by a truck, right? And so that truck was consuming some type of fuel to get there. And anything that's in a manufacturing process utilizes some type of a petroleum product at some point in its life cycle. So the cost of energy is built into practically everything we use in our daily lives.
Well, and I think that, and again, in this study, and I really encourage people to join NFIB if you are a small business. The information is invaluable, and they're doing the work for you. You couldn't afford to go do the kind of work that you guys are doing, and it's a benefit of your membership. And electricity cost, a top issue for small business, ranking 10th in this report. The cost of supplies and inventories, ranking 12th. So the actual cost of running the business seems to be at the forefront and at the top, and I think they're all interrelated if I'm looking at this correct. And interest rates, they continue to move up, but it's now 13th. So there, I believe that that's inflation, and that everything we just mentioned, energy, the cost of goods, all those things, and now interest rates are part of it, and they're all contributing to the overall cost, which means money that could go, as we talked about earlier, for improvements, for staffing. We're still shorthanded, but maybe a company, because of the cost, can't hire the people they would like to have an optimum situation because of the other expenses. Is there a trade-off going on for small business?
Well, yes, that brings up the point on costs again, where, the business owners, small business owners in particular, have very few options when costs increase. They can either raise prices or cut expenses, and expenses, the large part of that is employment. So they may have to relook at how many hours their folks are working. They may not hire. They may not fill an open position, and so their choices are very limited when their costs go up in any regard.
Chad, we are done with our time. I'm going to have you back before the election. I just so appreciate you coming on today and letting people know what you guys are working on to improve small business. Thank you so much for coming on Win Tucson. We're going to take a short break.
Okay.
Thank you.
Pain from arthritis is just awful. Bone on bone, constant pain. It robs you of so much stuff you'd love to do. But there are effective ways to deal with that pain, and I'm not talking about drugs or surgery. Hey, it's Christy Simone with Wake Up Tucson. Listen, there are exciting new cellular therapies that can get you lasting relief, and the place to go, QC Kinetics. QC Kinetics uses cutting-edge treatments that accelerate your own body's healing properties, revitalizing your joints so you can move again. If you're living with chronic pain from arthritis or injury, you need to know steroids and surgery and pain pills are no longer your only option. Learn how QC Kinetics can use advanced regenerative medicine to treat pain, enhance your joints, restore your mobility, and give you long-term relief with no downtime. The local medical professionals at QC Kinetics are ready to help you get your life back with regenerative, restorative, cellular treatments for your achy joints. This is the future of medicine. Call for a free consultation now, 520-497-4955, Academy in Orange Grove.
Welcome back to Win Tucson on this Tuesday. Constitution Day. I just want to remind us that we still have a constitution, we still have a country, and that's why we have an election coming up, and that's what we're fighting for. My next guest is Mark Lewis, a longtime friend. Mark retired from the CAP Water Board after 24 years. Those are hard jobs. Those aren't glamorous jobs. And during that time, he won 22 elections in Maricopa County over 30 years. He has been a Republican precinct committeeman for 44 years. I think that entitles him to a free drink if he shows up wherever he is. He wrote the vote-by-mail laws in 2000 and 2001 after the Bush-hanging-Chad ballot problems. And Mark, I am so glad to have you on today to talk to my listeners about how we can win this election, but how important it is that we show up. And so let my listeners know, how do you stay involved for 44 years? I didn't realize it was that long. So welcome to Win Tucson.
Thanks, Kathleen. Yeah, I've been working on elections since I was a young Republican in my early teens. I think David Schweikert and I both started in the Young Republicans in our early teens, and it just progressed to running elections over the years. And after a decade or so of running elections, I said, well, gosh, these guys are not that smart. I can run an election myself. And I got elected when I was 31 years old. And
I've
been doing it ever since. And doing the Lord's work on these small down ballot races that really matter in our elections. And, you know, that's really how things are won. On the grassroots level, to your local school boards and fire districts and all those kinds of things. And what really got me started was the Bush v. Gore hanging Chad issue.
Yes.
And it just occurred to me, you know, 30 years ago, why would I want the government running the complete election cycle and counting the ballots? And that's where I came upon the idea of the no-excuse vote-by-mail program, because for those of us that did one day one vote, we remember standing in line for hours and hours and in the hot sun, and seniors, you know, would leave and they couldn't stand that long, and only to get a ballot or to run out of ballots and do the little punch card, and you couldn't get the tool in there. And that's just not a way to run elections anymore. And so I helped write the law to do away with the excuses for vote by mail. And over the 30 years I've been doing vote by mail elections, we went from 8% turnout to 82% turnout, and a majority of voters in Pima County, in fact, 86% of the voters in Pima County voted by mail 2 years ago. And so it's the way we do things, like it or not. Can it be better? Yeah, it could be. But we don't have the votes to change it right now. And I guess the message I could send to everybody that I'm talking to is in 3 weeks, 507,000 mail ballots are going to go out in Pima County. And I'm hoping all the conservatives are ready to chase that vote.
We have a lot of ballot chasers, but I want to, before we get there, and it's important what you just said, and we're going to underline that. What's the most pressing matter in this 2024 election? And before you answer, this isn't about the president. I think everyone knows about that race, but Mark just mentioned down ballot and then how we get people to turn out. There's ballot measures on the ballot. So all the things that are happening in this election, not just the people running for Senator, Congress, those are important. Believe me, they are. But what's the most pressing matter? If I'm a voter, what should I be concerned about this election cycle?
Well, I would be laser focused not on the personalities of the candidates, but the ballot measures that we have going forward here. There's, you know, 16 ballots, measures that are very important to all sorts of people, including reproductive choice and health care and the right to collect signatures for ballot measures and all these other kinds of things that are super important for all
voters of both parties. And I'm finding when I'm working my precinct, going to door to door, instead of saying, knock, 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 here, you know, vote for President Trump and vote for the Republicans, I'm saying, knock, 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 here is a great list of ballot measures with a short explanation that you could use to avoid making mistakes on some of these complicated issues. And that's a great way to strike up a conversation. And so my message is start with the ballot measures and start the conversation and then go on the other things.
Mark, we have a call in, and no, we don't. I guess we have a question, but I'll find out who it was when we'll come back after that. You mentioned that we have 3 weeks and a day, I think it is, for all those candidates. You have that extra day besides the 3 weeks until 507 ballots are mailed out in Pima County. And so, but statistics would tell us that we're not going to get all those back. Right. So 331, I think, according to your notes to me, mail-in ballots will come back and 70,000 will walk in. So we're going to send out 507. We're going to get 400,000 back, which sounds OK, except what do we do to drive that number up? How do we're not going to get 100%. We know that. But what do we do to get people to vote this election? Because this seems to me, doing a lot of elections over my lifetime, that this one is more critical than anything we've ever seen.
Well, you're right. And we really need to follow the lead where our turnout is too big to rig. And reaching out to your neighbors and download the ballot measure cheat sheet from Arizona Free Enterprise Club and start emailing it to people in your neighborhood saying, hey, this is how we can tackle some of these tough public policy issues and still be conservative and balanced in that process and start talking to the one of four voters who only show up once in a while and the two of four voters that only show up once in a while. Those are the people that are fair-weathered voters and don't really pay attention, but and oftentimes they won't even mail their ballot back, but they're going to be sitting on the table. You know, there'll be 100,000 ballots that are sitting on the table the day after the election, and we just can't let that happen. So we got to start talking to those one of four voters who don't show up very often and say, get with the ballot measures. Those are important. And then start the conversation about the candidates.
What are some of the key races that we have in Pima County?
Well, probably the most critical one is LD-17. I think that we all got to join together and get Vince Leach across the finish line. That, you know, there's only 4,000 vote difference between Republicans and Democrats in that district. And, you know, it's been a tough primary battle, and not everybody was happy. But now you got a kind of a balanced team of moderates and conservatives that have really been doing a good job of campaigning and getting out the vote and getting their golden tickets out into their neighborhoods. And the LD-717 Pima County district is doing a great job with events and rallies and texting. And so that is the key to prevent a $2.6 billion tax increase, because we can't let the legislature flip over to the Democrats.
Yeah, I really, this is my LD, by the way, and we are doing a great job, and I'm really proud. And Corey McGarr and Rachel Jones are our seatmates, if you will, or in the House representing LD-17. And what the Democrats are doing in both these, they're only putting one person up to single shot. So it's important that the moderates and the conservatives band together, because I want to underline what Mark just said. $2.6 billion income tax hike in Arizona if we lose the legislature. And they are putting in $2 million against us in just that district.
Yeah, just LD-17. The Democrats got a secret slush fund of $13 million targeted at five different legislative districts in Arizona.
And ours is one of them.
And LD-17 is one of the key races that they think that they could flip to tax and spend liberalism.
Yes, and if you think inflation is high and you think as important, again, as these federal races are, what happens in your state legislature is going to determine so much. And Corey and Rachel in the House have been voting as Freedom Team very conservatively, but their policies keep our costs low. And I think it's so important to know the distinction between what you're voting for and, again, not vote for personalities. I know the race
And, you know, I know Vince Leach, and he was in the legislature for 10 years, and he's really super tuned in to water and energy issues and keeping small business going. And, you know, he's going to be an easy person to get along with both sides of the aisle, the conservatives and the MAGA candidates.
All Republicans, by the way. When we say both sides, we don't mean the other side.
The Republican aisle,
Okay,
and
good.
He's got a bridge that he has built over the years, and I'm sure that he'll do fine. I've had 10 years worth of experience with him, and he always helped the CAP when Arizona needed a voice for water.
Okay, well, that's a great thing. So, Mark, we have to take a very short break, and then when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about what the Democrats are doing, because I think not only in 17, but just kind of across the board, because if we understand what they're doing, we can counteract it, and I really want to underline what it's going to mean for us to chase ballots. So we are talking to Mark Lewis, extraordinary Republican precinct committeeman for 44 years. Those of you who have been doing it for four or five, just know that that's the standard for greatness. And so you are listening to 1030 The Voice, your trusted local news and talk. I'm Kathleen Wynn, and we'll be back with Wynn Tucson after these commercial messages.
Looking to take your business to the next level? Join me, Sean Campbell, at the Marketing Corner, your go-to source for the latest marketing and small business insights straight from industry experts. Every Saturday, live from 11 a.m. to noon, we dive deep into the strategies and trends that matter most to entrepreneurs and small business owners. So whether you're just starting out or looking to grow, the Marketing Corner has the tips and tools you need to succeed. Don't miss out and keep your dial here to 10:30 a.m. The Voice this Saturday at 11.
Providing health care to people who need it most. That's the simple but powerful purpose behind Doctors Without Borders. We treat wounded people in war zones, care for malnourished children, and provide safe reproductive health care. We're on the ground in emergencies, from Ukraine to Afghanistan. We put patients first. And we go where we're needed most. Because at Doctors Without Borders, we believe people deserve to be treated with compassion and dignity. We treat our patients completely free of charge and without regard to race, religion, or politics. Doctors Without Borders has provided free, life-saving medical care for over 50 years. And thanks to the 6 million people around the world who support our work, Doctors Without Borders will continue to put our patients first.
Welcome back to Wynn Tucson. You are listening to 1030 The Voice, and this is Kathleen Wynn, and I am so thrilled to have Mark Lewis on today because we have to get every ballot off of every kitchen counter in Pima County, especially the Republican ones, because those are the ones that are going to help us maintain control in the state legislature and hopefully take back over Congress and the Senate and the presidency. Mark, Turning Point has a great app if you're a PC or you're someone who wants to get involved. And Charlie Kirk was just here recently and told us that if we got 20,000 more votes in Pima County, we still probably won't win for whoever the federal candidates are, but we won't lose statewide. Is there any merit to what Charlie's saying?
Yeah, Kathleen, if people are looking for a way to help, and you don't want to, you know, walk the neighborhood and you don't want to hand out flyers, Turning Point Action has .com. That's where you go to sign up, and you could download an app, and it'll show you right in your neighborhood the people that you could go talk to within a distance of your so many feet of your house. You can email them, you can phone them, you could, as soon as you vote on day one on October 9th, take your golden ticket ballot cheat sheet and stick it in your neighbor's mailbox. I mean, there are so many simple ways to reach out to just 10 people in your own neighborhood and help boost that vote. And signing up for Turning Point Action is a great way to chase that ballot.
And I think that to your earlier point that, number one, if you live in a neighborhood, people will trust you better than someone just plopping into your neighborhood. So if you know your neighbors, but these ballots that people get that they've asked for and requested an early ballot, and then they hang on to them and don't vote. The people that vote every election, you don't need to worry about them. They vote every election. It's the people that vote intermittently. And if ever there was an election to turn out for, it's this election. And Arizona is one of seven key states, which is why, like tonight, I think RFK is going to be in Scottsdale. We are going to be visited by a lot of different people over the next 50 days because Pennsylvania, Arizona, Nevada, Wisconsin, possibly Georgia, Texas. These states matter, and they're going to matter in this election. But between us and Pennsylvania, if you're Republican, you have to win those states. And so we really cannot stress enough that if you get a ballot, you have to take the time to fill it out. And we don't want you just to vote for the president. You need to go down ballot. You need to be educated. Over the next 3 weeks before early ballots drop, we're going to go over each and every ballot measure. Not on the same day. We're going to do one a day. But it's important that we understand what we are voting for and what we need to vote against. And you've probably heard a lot about 139. That is the reproductive rights ballot measure. That's for that's going to be the pro or against abortion measure. And there's a lot of money being spent on that. But there's other ones that are equally important. Mark, how important is it for voters to do their homework before they vote?
So the most important thing you could do today is take action and go to azfree.org and download their ballot measure guide from the Arizona Free Enterprise Club. They've really done a great job. It's about 2 pages long. It goes into the explanation of what each ballot measure can do. And that way you could start talking to your independent neighbors and your mixed households with Republicans and independents in it and say, look, this is about the issues, and we have a lot of issues that we need to resolve as voters, and we need to make sure that we have a ballot proposition program that reaches all voters. We need to keep the party system so we don't devolve into, you know, what the mess you see in the ward system where the highest vote getter gets to win and they're both from the same party. They're trying to do that in the state. You need to make your voice heard on reproductive rights, whichever way you go. And the way to do that today is to reach down at azfree.org, download the proposition thing, and start reading up on that so you could educate yourself and your family and your neighbors.
And school boards matter, right?
School boards matter a lot, yes.
And I really can't stress enough the information that we have to vote on is so important for the future, whether it be education, whether it be taxes, whether it be our rights. More now than ever, we need to make sure that we can inform. There's many groups that have come to Pima County that are participating in this. Also, Mark, by when do people need to be registered to vote? I know my church is doing a voter registration this coming Sunday. I go to Tucson Baptist. But who else, when do we need to be registered to vote by?
So roughly the day before ballots are mailed is October 8th, and that's the last day to register to vote in the general election. And so you got 3 weeks exactly before you have to get registered to vote. And if you don't do anything else, register to vote and download the ballot propositions so you could become an educated voter when the ballots get here in 3 weeks.
So what else should voters know?
Well, the getting copies of the golden tickets put out by each legislative district will help you kind of ferret through the down ballot school board and fire district and community college seats that are open, not to mention every one of your Pima County seats are open. And, you know, they're one of those
for supervisor,
seats,
yes.
For supervisor, District 4, that could easily be maintained as a Republican seat. And, you know, I go back to the days of Pima County supervisors to the 1980s when Ed Moore was there and Raul Grijalva was the county supervisor. And, you know, there was literally smoke-filled cigar rooms with paneling on it as part of the first meetings that I had in Pima County running elections back in the 80s. I started the Saddlebrook Republican Club in 1984. I've been around a long time.
I know. I've only been a PC for 26 years. So you make me feel like I haven't done anything, which is hard to do. Because I've been pretty busy too, right? You know, I've worked hard.
Yeah,
and
well,
I've worked hard to get elected and worked hard to get other people elected. I will tell you, in Pima County, we have some really strong supervisor candidates. So Steve Christie is also my, I've got a great district, is my representative. Janet Wittenbraker is running, Steve Spain, John Backer, and I think Ramiro. He's an independent. He's not running as a Republican, but that's okay. If we could totally flip the supervisors, we could change the face of Pima County. We could maybe get our roads fixed. Important things like that. I don't want to promise that because I won't,
yeah,
you know.
Pima County is been a challenge. I've sued them and they've sued me and over the years and because I started the Quail Creek community down there in the early 1990s and we ended up merging Quail Creek into the town of Sal Rita. Back in the 90s because the Pima County was just so unpleasant to deal with. And, you know, I shouldn't have to get a court order to get a building permit, but that's the way your county was run.
Well, it's my county now. I wasn't here then. I had been here before that. So I'm just not going to take any responsibility for that. But I will say that Pima County is a great place to live and we can make it better by just some nuancing of who's holding office. And if ever you wanted to fight back, this election is the time to fight for the quality of life that we have and to fight for our freedoms and to fight for our state. And Pima County can really make the difference in the entire state just by 20,000 votes. Now that sounds like a lot, but when there's over a half million people voting, it doesn't need to be. And I think independents, I even think some Democrats are fed up with what's happening. We have many fentanyl deaths. We have high crime. We have a shortage of police. We really need to do a better job. And all of that is affected by who you put into these offices. We have a sheriff candidate, Heather Lappin, who's running against the current sheriff, Nanos. And as a matter of fact, tomorrow I'm going to have on former sheriff Mark Napier here to discuss that race. So there are so many things happening. Your ballot gives you an opportunity to change.
The ballot measure on border security is and the enforcement of fentanyl deaths on the criminals that are coming across is probably the most important, you know, a security measure that's on the Pima County ballot this year. And both, all three parties, independents, Republicans, and Democrats, all care about that. And that's a good place to start. And we need to be getting those ballot measures voted on and your neighbors educated on these things.
Well, you know, I know too many. I personally know over 10 families who have lost children. And I say children, their children might have been in their teens, 20s, 30s, 40s. to fentanyl poisoning. And that's too many. And I'm one person. So if I know 10 families, how many other families are there out there? I have a child that works in for DCS, and every day he gets a new baby that's born with, you know, ecstasy or fentanyl or meth in the baby's system. Is that, I mean, this has become normal, and we really can right a lot of ships if we get educated. And so, I'm going to order everyone to do homework the next, 50 days and be a smart voter.
The two things that you could do for your homework today are, number one, download the ballot measure explanations from azfree.org and get educated, and then vote the first day on October 9th, and then chase the ballot with Turning Point Action and spend the next 28 days chasing the people that don't vote very often.
100%. Well, Mark, I want to thank you for coming on today. I will have you on one more time or five more times between now and the election as issues arise. Thank you for all your hard work and dedication. And thank you for joining me today on Win Tucson. I really appreciate you.
Thank you.
Well, we have come to another end of an hour, and we had a lot of information today. So take care of your small businesses. Take care of your friends. Make sure, don't let your friends vote stupid. And we'll be back tomorrow to talk about the sheriff's race and some other good news. Go out and make it a great day. Stay safe.